Welcome to the Homestead Podcast. You are joining co-hosts Carol and Jamie of twogalshomesteading.com. If you found yourself here, that means you are ready to take responsibility for what you eat, your family's health, and your family's well-being while living a simpler life. You can do this and have fun, saving money along the way. Let them help you unleash the homesteader within. By doing more with less, you will gain what is needed to create confidence, impact, and change in your life and the lives around you. Let's start homesteading. Let's start now.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Carol.
Oh, well, welcome back. It's been a little while.
Yeah, a long time since we recorded. We see each other all the time.
Yeah, we just haven't had a chance to actually sit down and do some recording, and it's already February. Yeah, and so you're already in somewhat gardening mode. Not totally, but
no, I should have been, but I it's on the agenda for this week. We got to get through our taxes first.
Okay. All right. So what we decided to talk about today was seed storage. But first, we're going to talk about just a little bit what's been going on here. Our big thing right now is that the fruit truck delivered strawberries to Minnesota. And we were lucky enough to get some because they did run out because they're having problems with rains down in Florida, because they're Florida strawberries, and the gardens down there are
they flooding.
Yes. Yeah, so they shared a picture on Facebook, and there's just water standing in their rows, you know, and so they said that they're coming back again in March to Minnesota. But I did see they were scheduling for all the other states. I believe they delivered to 14 different states.
Yeah.
As far as south to Texas, north to Minnesota. Yeah. They're based in South Dakota.
Because they go pretty north in Minnesota too.
Yeah.
Don't they do Brainerd?
They do Brainerd, I believe. So I don't know if they go out to Wisconsin. I can't remember. I know they're in Iowa. I was thinking Bemidji was on there.
Okay, that's pretty north.
But you can check out their website at www.myfruittruck.com.
Okay.
And then you can go in there and you can look to see they have fruits from about February to about September, October is when they stop. And the fruits are seasonal, so it changes.
Yeah.
I've gotten strawberries.
Peaches.
Peaches. Cherries.
Pears.
Pears.
Pecans?
Yep. They still carry pecans? They did carry pecans at one time.
Okay.
I'm just not sure if they still do. I haven't gotten grapes. I've gotten strawberries. Yes, of course we've gotten strawberries. I was thinking the cherries, and they've had...
Peaches. I've gotten
apricots.
Peaches. Oh, yeah.
And apples.
Yeah, they apples.
Apples were really big. And I don't remember what happens here after the strawberries. I don't know what comes
next. I think they have a law.
Yeah, I don't remember. But it's one of these things where you actually order, but you don't pay until you're at the truck and you actually get your fruit. So
kind of like that. So if something happens and you can't go.
Right. Or something happens on their end and they have to cancel, you don't have to worry about them refunding your money or anything. It's meet them at the truck and pay as you pick up your product. And if you only ordered one, you can get three boxes if you want. It doesn't matter as long as they have the fruit on the truck.
Yes. And it's like cash. I think they even took checks and Venmo.
And Venmo. Yep. Those are the three things they take. It's first come, first serve. And the line may look really long, but they are fast.
Yeah, I bet once they got all organized and everything, I probably, a half hour. Like they plan for a half hour at each stop.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pretty much, I bet it, once we had a little, because we were at the end of the line, they were running out. And they didn't know if they'd have enough for Wilmer, but they ended up. And so there was kind of like two trucks. We want to empty this truck first, but everybody was over at the other truck. So it was kind of confusing there for a bit. But once we got it all organized, it was really quick.
Yeah, the lines move really, really fast. I've never had to wait very long once the truck's there.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes, they are making stops and trying to get to wherever on time. So it works pretty good. I've always been happy with their fruit.
Yes, I've never
had any
right off
trouble.
The truck. It's wonderful. Now, of course, it's fresh fruit. If you don't process it quickly enough, you will lose some of it.
Yep, exactly.
But I think I've only had one, maybe two strawberries in the whole. Because I bought one, and you bought one.
Yep.
And so I think in two boxes. We got.
And they were eight pound boxes, approximately 8 pounds. So we eat.
That's a lot of strawberries.
Yeah, that's a lot of strawberries, and we've had a lot of strawberries going on, which. Reminds me, we're here sipping the homemade pop that, or soda
pop.
Jamie brought over because she made strawberry lemonade concentrate, just like I did. If you follow our Facebook page and Instagram, you will see that I had made that. She did the same thing, and then she decided to use the concentrate and make it into a soda, which of course she reconstituted it and added some club soda. And we do have a video we just recorded.
Yeah.
What we're drinking, we just recorded a few minutes ago, and we'll be putting that up on our Facebook page as well. And I know Jamie changed the recipe a little bit. You didn't use quite as much sugar.
Yeah, so I tripled my recipe, and so that should have been, six cups of flour or sugar?
It should have been 16 cups of sugar for the three batches.
So then I probably only put 13.
Okay.
So it was like 3 cups less than that.
I talked to Kelsey just a little bit, and we were discussing how would it work if you used honey for your sweetener.
I think it would work because you would heat it a little bit.
Yep, I would think.
Or even maple syrup, I wondered.
Yeah, I wonder how that would change that. But I still have some strawberries around here. I'm probably going to make more concentrate because I really like it.
I do too. Considered it too because I probably have a half gallon at home yet of strawberries in the fridge.
Yep. So I'm thinking I'm going to make some more. So really, really like that recipe. And that recipe came from creativecanning.com. That's where I found it. But the same recipe is also on the Ball website and several other ones. So you can find that. And it's basically the same recipe for all of them. It's the 6 cups of strawberries, 4 cups of lemon juice, and 6 cups of sugar. And you can can it. You can freeze it.
And I did end up using some jar lemon juice because I didn't have enough lemons.
Yeah, I did a lot of lemons.
I know that was a lot of lemons. My hands are tired from squeezing.
That was just a lot of lemons. And I also made strawberry muffins.
Yeah, they looked good over there.
That recipe came from onceuponachef.com. The only thing I would change in there is probably I wouldn't put quite as many strawberries. The recipe called for 2.5 cups of strawberries.
Chopped strawberries?
Yep. And that was a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think I would probably cut that back a little bit. But other than that, they didn't rise real great, but I was interrupted about 3 different times trying to make that. And so the batter sat, and then I had to add some more ingredients to it. And
I know.
So I don't know. But it still tasted delicious, and they're very light. Lots of times my muffins turn out kind of
heavy,
and these are not. And Rich polished off 5 of them as soon as they were cool enough to eat. So
I wonder if some of the lightness has something to do with sitting.
I have no idea, but they are really, really good. And then the other thing I've made so far, I made some strawberry syrup.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, I made some strawberry and I used it on my pancakes last night, and that was really, really good. But once again...
Oh, here, I thought you were making those for Ridge.
Well, I made pancakes. He had them too, but he put maple syrup on his.
Oh, okay.
He did not do the strawberries, the strawberry syrup. But I think that strawberry syrup would be good in milk.
I think it looks good. It's like ice cream.
Yes, ice cream. I think it'd be really good on ice cream, but it does have a lot of sugar in it, once again. And so I don't know. I might just...
Oh, yeah.
Cut back on that
sugar
a little bit. Even for me, I thought it was maybe a little sweet. The pancakes weren't so bad because the pancakes aren't sweet.
Yeah.
You know, but on ice cream, it might be a little sweet. Yeah. And then I prayed a bunch and put them in the freezer for later use.
I haven't done that yet, and I don't know if I'll get that part done.
Well, I want to make strawberry ice cream. And I've got a bunch of vanilla ice cream right now, so I want to. I'll make that later with the stuff that I have frozen. So
now I dehydrated quite a bit.
Yep.
And it's amazing. I did like three trays in my big one and then the 2 little trays in my little air fryer. And it all fits in 1.5 quart jars. That just amazes me. And they're good, you know. I'm sure my granddaughter will think they're great.
So do you, when you dehydrate them, do you roll them in lemon juice or anything?
No.
Or you just cut them up, put them on the tray?
Yep,
and there
I
you
cut
go.
Them up. I have my Pampered Chef slicer, you know, to make even slices. And they're really, actually, I think I would have liked them a little thicker. They're very uniform, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But once they were dry, they were pretty thin.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh. But I figured, you know, you could reconstitute them and put them in muffins or whatever.
Okay.
Or ice cream.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Well, that's probably enough strawberry talk. We were busy strawberry talking. Okay. So let's hear from our sponsor. And we're back. Okay. So we are going to talk about seed storage. And I did post on Facebook and Instagram on our two social media accounts asking people what they use and showed what you do. Yep. I don't do seed storage out here. I don't really garden.
No,
this has kind of fallen in your lap. And so we thought maybe we'd talk a little bit how you store your seed and keep it organized.
Yes. And of course, so things to consider when you're storing your seeds is that you want to store them in a cool, dark, dry place. And so we'll get to what I do. This is what I do, and I have no problems doing that, where mm-hmm. I store them. And then we're going to talk about what our, as I'm talking about this types, you're going to mention who set them on our Facebook yep, page.
We're going to mention the people and what they use for storage.
No, I'm not on Instagram. Was there any different ones on Instagram?
No, I did not see anything on Instagram okay. that was different. So,
okay. So of course, one that I saw from, and it was a few years older video. A lot of these I got off videos and I did some researching, you know, Google searches and stuff like that. But I saw one where they put them in a fridge or a freezer. And yes, theoretically, this I think would be a good idea because you're supposed to keep them in a cool spot. And that's, you know, it might give you longevity to keep a seed viable longer because seeds do, the viability drops the older they are. And so, but my concern is as you're taking them in and out, especially if it's like, you know, June where it's hot and you're bringing them out and it's going to get condensation in the container, that would be a concern that I would have. So that would, you know, moisture wise, let alone most people do not have space in the refrigerator or the freezer to store their seeds.
Okay. So this is a working refrigerator.
Yes.
Type thing. Now I did see somebody had commented, oh, who was that? Proverbs 31 Homestead, I believe, said that she has used a glass jar in the refrigerator for long-term storage, but she puts powdered milk in the bottom to help absorb any moisture that's in there. Now, I don't know if she's talking about putting seed packets in there, you know, like what you buy from the store and you put them all in there and do it that way, or she's doing her own and she's putting them in envelopes. You know, I honestly don't know. That is something I didn't specify.
Didn't investigate.
Yeah. I didn't look any farther with that, but you know, I can see where moisture might be a problem, especially if you're saving your own seed and you didn't dry it quite the way you should or needs to.
That's a concern too. If you're saving your own seeds, you need to make sure that they're dry before you put them in storage, because if I've had that happen is where I've collected seeds and then put them in a Ziploc bag and they weren't completely dry and they molded.
Okay. So that is truly an issue.
Yeah, it's an issue.
It can be an
issue. That's why the moisture issue, you know, keeping them dry. Mm-hmm. So that's why they will mold if they're not completely dry. That was my concern with that. I could see for, you know, if you're looking at long-term seed storage, okay. But if you're going to put them in there, my concern would be that in and out.
Yeah, that makes sense because, I mean, you're going to get that condensation.
Yep. So, okay. Oh, and then it keeps it at an even temperature. You want to keep your seeds at an even temperature. And I'm like, okay, you do what you can do because I don't have an air conditioned house. I do keep them on my back porch, which is dark, has no windows. And so in the summertime, yes, it's going to be warm out there. It's not going to be as warm as it is in my garage.
Okay.
So you do what you can do. But in the wintertime, you know, if I have any seeds, I've bought any seeds that need to go through stratification, I think is how you say it.
Which is?
They need to be chilled for so many weeks before they will germinate.
Okay.
So they need to be tricked in thinking they were outside and went through winter, basically. So then when you're looking for a system to organize your seeds, you need to find a system that works for you. We had all these comments on what people do. And I looked at some of them that wouldn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So, yes. And so if you put a system in order, into place, don't be afraid to change it, even if you spent money on it.
If it doesn't work.
If it doesn't work and is, you know, to be organized, it's something needs to be as easy to put away as it was to get out. If something's not working for me, I'm going to change it, even if I spent money on it and I'm going to grit my teeth. And but most of the times, if it's containers, especially, you can repurpose it somewhere else.
That's true.
The cheapest and the easiest I saw was a shoebox, you know, or an upright open topped box where you could make dividers out of pieces of cardboard, cardstock or something, and then divide your seeds out. Mm-hmm. That's the cheapest one.
Kind of like a recipe box.
A recipe box, a traditional photo box. Mm-hmm. You know, not the plastic ones that we're going to talk about, which is what I use.
Yeah, because I know some people said they won't use plastic because they think moisture is a problem.
Yeah.
Now, my thinking is cardboard. I live on a farm. and mice.
Yes.
Eat cardboard.
That's a, oh, I'd seen that on a video, but it, but that's a yes. It needs everything in my house needs to be rodent proof.
Yep. That would be the one concern I would have.
Yeah.
You know, using cardboard to store. Yeah.
But if they're like an urban farmer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. You know, and mice is not an issue with their house. Yeah.
Yep, go for that. That works fine. Yep.
Or if you have them in a cupboard that a mice can't get into.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
You know,
yep.
That's the other option. And so then the next one is if you're gardening, you have jars. I mean, even if you're saving spaghetti jars or, you know, pickle jars and using them or mason jars. One thing about a mason jar is that you could put seeds in them and vacuum seal them. If you're looking at longevity, you know, of keeping your seeds longer. So that's an option. The only drawback to that is it takes up a lot of room.
Yeah, because seeds are...
Yeah. You know, and yeah, because you get like 250 seeds. You don't need... Even a jelly jar is mm-hmm. almost too big.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, now, if you're saving a lot of sunflower seeds...
Totally different.
Yeah. So yeah, some of those seeds are so tiny. You know, a jar, a mason jar, even a jelly jar is way big and takes up a lot of room.
True.
So that's the only drawback I saw that one or thought of. And then there's the way I do it. Photo storage containers. You get them from Hobby Lobby, Amazon, Michaels, Joann's. But they're a 4x6 container inside. And most of them have like 16 containers inside a container.
Okay.
And so they perfect size for photos or most seed packages. And I love it because it does fit just the seed packets. And the concern I'd seen about people saying moisture wise, mine don't get moisture in them because I don't take the whole, sometimes I'll take the whole thing outside to the garden, but a lot of times I'm just I'm planting beans and peas right now, or our peas and, you know, kale or whatever. So I'm just grabbing those packs. I'm grabbing a pack or two packs at a time and going out to the garden, planting, closing them, and bringing them back in the house. Normally, I'm not watering around them. If it's raining, I don't take the pack outside. I'll take a pack of seeds outside then. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you're like quick trying to get it in before it rains, that's, you know, so I don't have an issue with water. I've never gotten them wet inside. You know,
yeah, because I would think if you were storing them in your basement and your basement was damp, they should be sealed anyway because you have them in a plastic container. So I would assume that has more to do with...
I could see where if you're collecting and saving your own seeds, making sure that they're dry before you put them into storage would be my, you know, with the water issue.
Because, they're not going to be able to dry anymore once you put them in that does make sense.
Yes, that makes sense and stuff. Yep. The drawback of... the photo storages, if you have a big collection or if you buy in bulk. So if you're buying a big bag of corn seeds, bean seeds, they do not fit in there with the packet very neatly.
Yep.
I mean, if you dumped them out of it, yes. And if they're big seeded, they wouldn't go all over. But if they were a tiny seed, a radish seed, I could see them leaking all over the place.
Okay.
But I've had it too, where they're in there and like a kale seed packet popped open. They all stayed inside that one container.
Okay.
So, you know, use it, change it. You've got to look at the options and go, oh, no, that won't work for my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's brain is different.
Yeah. And I saw somebody, was it Barb, I think, had mentioned that she has them all labeled and then she's got the little, whether they're cold season or warm season plants or
direct seeds.
And she had that all on her little label there so she could just eyeball it, which that was really good.
I saw that, Kelma, and thought, duh, Jamie, you may need to reorganize your seeds. Because right now I have two containers. As you see, if you go to our Facebook page, you will see my seed storage. And I have one is vegetables and one is flowers. And I may redo them because the other, I don't know if she had it on there. Did she have by the weeks of when too?
I don't think so.
Maybe that was a video I saw. Whereas you also on your thing put like, so this set of seeds, you sort them by how many weeks before frost you need to start them inside or how many weeks before frost you direct sow them outside. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a good idea. And so I may be reorganizing mine this as I get to seeding.
See, when you do research and look at the stuff, you learn.
Look at other options. Yep. Another one that I saw on a video was a seed. You can still get them at, she bought them at Staples or Office Depot, I think it is now. They changed, companies changed names. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was a CD Rubbermaid type container with a locking lid. So it's probably what a CD is, what, 6-5 inches wide? Maybe. And then she had that, and then she just took cardboard and made like file folder dividers. And then she sorted it by categories. You know, and she had a huge collection. She had 6 of them.
Okay.
So, you know, dependent. Yeah. But it flows and ebbs to the size of your collection. So if it ebbs and flows where you'll have a lot of, you know, corn this year, but you're cut back next year or whatever, it's not like in stone or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And then this is my dream. The old school or the old library card catalog.
Yes. I Who saw mentioned that. Let me just look here. No, I can't read my. Oh, Teresa had an old. Oh, she has an old post office mailbox.
Sorry.
Thing. Yep.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, here,
too.
Andy. It was Andy. He used paper envelopes in an old card library card catalog.
I have seen that Kevin from Epic Gardener. He lives in, I think, San Diego, California, has one of those.
His picture, Andy's picture was, I'm like, oh my gosh, what a great way to repurpose. Yeah, he had actually a picture of his, just the card catalog. And for those people who don't know what one of those are.
Yes, if you're young enough.
If you're young enough. That's what we used to use when we went to the library to look up a book try and find one. And there was a card for every book in the library. And you had to use the Dewey Decimal System. And I barely remember this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I thought, what a great way to repurpose that. And then that Teresa, she had an old mail post office mailbox sorter. Sorry. And that I thought was really clever too, you know.
I have, my husband has one of those mailbox sorter thingy. He sorts his bolts in it.
Okay.
By type and size, I think. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm like, but I don't have that big of a collection.
But I thought those were two very good ways to use something.
Repurpose
it and make it have a use in your home looking cool.
Besides just being decorations.
Right.
They'd still be cool decorations.
Yeah, they'd still be cool decorations, yes.
So that would be cool. And then the other one, somebody mentioned a seed vault.
Yes, that was Avery.
And she put it, she goes, it took a lot of time, but she goes, she doesn't do any other craft. She goes, this was my craft this year.
Yep.
Is that she sat and dumped the seeds into the kind of miniature pill bottles. Mm-hmm. Is what they looked like.
Yep.
And then she had a binder that she put the seed packet in. So then she'd have all the information.
Yep. So she cross-referenced it. So she knew when to put her carrots in or whatever. Yes. She could look at the package that
now,
they came
on. That's a cool idea. But I look at that and going, having the two things not together messes with my brain.
Okay. Well, see, you know, everybody works differently.
So you see, I looked at that. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was, I did look too to see how much she called it a seed vault. And so I looked on Amazon and they start around $20 and they go as high as $150 or whatever. But they basically all look kind of the same to me, you know?
Okay.
But I was like, that's pretty clever. You know, it all completely shuts and it's all sealed. And
it's sealed so you wouldn't spill seeds. Mm-hmm. That would be one huge advantage of that system I see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. And then one of the basic ones, somebody else put this video up of a photo album type thing with sleeves. That was on our Facebook page.
Yeah, somebody used, it was for baseball cards.
Yep.
She used one. I saw somebody else used one that was for photos.
Yeah.
You know, the old 3-ring binder and those sleeves there where they have what, 6 pockets or whatever it is, and used those.
The only thing I tried that at one time with, no, not with the baseball cards, but with just sleeve protectors. You have to make sure that you never tip it upside down.
Oh, yeah.
And so you want to make sure that those pockets hold your seed tightly.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the only downside of that one.
That makes sense.
But I did like it that you could see the front and back of the seed packet.
Yeah, that's...
And easy to get in and out of. But the drawback would be that bulk. So if you have bulk corn...
That's not going to work.
Yeah, so they're
not
going to work in
It works for carrots and...
Radishes.
Where you're just going to have... Seed.
Yeah. You can probably, I don't know if you could get just a single pack of bean seeds like you would get from your local farm store. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would fit in there because they look like they fit in there tight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, something to check out or to have a different system for the bulk seeds.
Right. Yep. Okay. So some people mentioned using old pill bottles.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That was one too, a way to repurpose.
Prescription pill bottles. Yep. Yes.
And I know like my dad, he used baby food jars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dad used a lot of baby. That worked really well for corn and those bigger things.
Another one I've seen in the past and just made me think of it was Tic Tac containers. I don't know. Do they still make Tic Tacs?
Probably. Yeah. I think we might have posted that, or either that it was on the Small Farm and Sustainability group that they talked about Tic Tacs using that for seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that in the past.
Jan had said they used zip top Mylar bags.
I could see that for long-term storage would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would, especially if you maybe use like a food chamber, you could vacuum them down.
Yep.
Somebody mentioned that.
The only other thing they mentioned, this was not a comment. It was from a person who buys milk from me.
Okay.
And he gardens and they do a lot of farmer markets type stuff. And he just mentioned his seed. And I'm like, so how do you store your seeds? And he's like, in anything I can find.
A true farmer at heart.
He's like 5 gallon buckets and I have totes and it all depends on what it is.
Your scale.
And, yep. And he's like, I store any Ziploc bags, envelopes, whatever I have. And I stick them all into a 5 gallon pail and I put the lid on.
Oh,
and
rodent proof.
Yep. And that's how he does it. And now he grows for farmers markets. So he has his garden on his land in town. And then he also does gardens on his neighbor's lawn so the neighbor doesn't have to mow his lawn. So so across the alley, he's got that garden over there too. And so I was just like, well, I'm going to ask him how he does it. And then he said this year, I'm not going to be able to do as much seed starting. I'm going to have to buy plants because my wife is starting to take over my areas where I have my starting area. And he says her freeze drying business is growing and it's pushing him out a little bit. And so
they need another room. They need to add on.
He's like, so I might be buying a few more plants than what I normally do and not starting quite as much seed starting from seed so much. But that was Shannon. He was fun. He's so fun to talk to.
Yes.
But
I couldn't think of any other way system wise, you know, containers wise mm-hmm. that or find anything else. But then we talked about labeling them. So you want to make sure. And I like the gal's name about, you know, you are organizing, how you organize them. Shannon, your friend, sounds like he doesn't have much organization there.
No, but I think he knows.
He probably knows.
He knows everything that he has. Yes. You know,
and stuff. But, you know, like right now I have mine roughly organized by alphabetically.
Okay.
So that's how, but it may be changing. But then I like the cold season, warm season, you know. Seed starting, mm-hmm. how many weeks before frost date, how many weeks before frost before you plant them out.
Put it in the ground. Yeah, you know, there's a lot to consider there. And then you got to figure out how your brain works.
Yes.
And so how it works for you, because, some people that doesn't work. That's too much information on a tag and it's just confusing, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. And I use painter's tape because it removes and doesn't leave a huge residue. So mm-hmm. if, you know, in the future I decide to scrap this sorting container, I can repurpose it and mm-hmm. not have stuff not to remove. To,
yep.
Because the label makers, that is very nice and crisp, but I've tried to take that off of some things. And it doesn't come off really nicely.
Oh, okay.
No, and stuff. But I like it. That. I like how, you know, but you know, if you're not going to change them, I would probably go that way because it was really clean looking. You can include more information. One gal I watched, she had a piece of paper in there with the depth. How deep do you plant it? Does it need light to germinate?
I think those would be all good things to have if you were especially saving your seed.
Yes.
Because you don't have that packet to go back to look at and see what you're supposed to do.
And there's books that tell you that.
Yep. But I mean, to have that right there so you don't have to go fuddling for something else. Yeah. It's all right there.
Yep.
All your information.
Or even, you know, some of the seed printing, as we've gotten older, the printing on the seed packets have gotten smaller. And so, yeah. Or then, you know, and if you don't have, you know, if you don't have washi tape, they're just a stickers. Do you just have a plain old you know, repurpose the stickers that you've gotten for something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to make stickers and I still have paper, sticker paper. But, and then one of the biggest concerns as a gardener is you open a seed and you cannot reseal it. Yeah, I saw one gal says it's criminal that they don't make seed packets resealable.
Yeah, like a zip top or a zip. Yeah,
or sticky, you know, like a sticky envelope.
Yep.
That's what she had bought. She had bought sticky, you know, I don't know what it's called when it re-sticks. Self-sealing, and you can open it and close it.
Okay, yep.
So I'm like, I looked on Amazon, Amazon, and they're pretty reasonable. $100 for like, you know, anywhere from $5 to $15.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
So that for $100, you know, I'm like, it'd probably, last me less than the rest of my life.
That's a lot.
Or what I have used, you know, I mean, washi tape. You can pick up washi tape at the Dollar Tree.
Okay.
So, I mean, and it's a use in one time. You can tape it. And then if you're, you know, sometimes you can get it re-sticked depending on the quality. And it won't, but you could seal them, but it's not going to rip off. You can take it off and it's not going to rip the instructions.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
The washi tape comes off and doesn't rip the paper that it's been stuck to.
Okay.
That's the advantage. It's kind of like a post-it note.
Oh, okay.
You know, yep. Sticky stuff. Yep. So you can stick it on and pull it off and it doesn't wreck it. That's what I'm doing right now. And I have lots of it and I'm trying to use it up and I use it on my seed packets.
Well, hey, you know, if you have it, why not use it? You know, I mean, it seems to make sense to me.
Yeah. And so that, I think that's pretty much of what, unless you can think of something else.
The only other thing I was going to mention is that the, you know, there would seem to be a little bit of a theme running through the comments that, you know, moisture. Yeah. Yet your system was the most popular.
Yes, it was.
Using the photo boxes.
If you do a YouTube seed storage search, I would say 80% of people use those.
Okay. See, now for me, if I was doing it, I would probably do the three-ring binder thing.
Yeah.
Because I probably wouldn't be saving seed. And that's just very visual for me.
Yes.
You know, I think, not that I'm going to start gardening. I don't think I am. But that would probably be my first system that I would try.
Well, and it would be the cheapest system, I would think, besides the shoebox.
Yeah, besides the shoebox, yeah. Well,
now, how about, the only thing with that is out here, you have to be, you know, mice conscious.
It would probably end up over here.
Okay, so you don't end up with mice over in your cook.
Yeah, we'd probably end up in my cookbook area. That's probably where I would put it, because that's where all my other three-ring binders are.
Okay. You'd have to watch it and be concerned, because I would never have thought... I had, you know, those corn warming bags where it's corn inside of a, like a pillow.
Oh, yep.
Pillow to warm up. So if you got achy muscles and stuff, I had some of them and I had a drawer underneath my DVD shelf and I threw it in there. And then one day I opened it and I had a mouse jump out at me. And I would never have thought, because I thought it was it's not a high quality. It's a Walmart shelf.
Yep.
But I'm like, oh, I can't put that in there anymore. Mm-hmm. So I had to put it in a container that's sealed.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just thought that would probably be where it was. But I'm not going to garden.
No, you're not. No, I'll probably start plants for you. Because I don't know if you take and you blow up that picture of my seed storage, you'll see your note, my note from last year, Carol, three tomato plants and how many pepper plants.
I'm like, oh, that's cute. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's see. Anything else? So just to kind of recap, for seed storage and organization, you just kind of have to try a method and see how it works. It seems that those photo thing, what Jamie does, seems to be the most popular and the easiest to use. But
if you watch for sales at Hobby Lobby, Joann's and stuff, you can get them under $20.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to spend the time, I think the Avery's idea with the seed vault is probably
the next best longevity storage, maybe.
Right. But you know, can be just be creative, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay, I think that is about it. I'd like to thank PicoSupply.com for sponsoring our podcast, and see you later. So until next time,
I put some kefir on it.
Thank you for listening to the Homestead Podcast's latest episode. Your hosts, Carol Radke and Jamie Kappas, are Two Gals Homesteading. To learn more, go to twogalshomesteading.com or the Two Gals Homesteading Facebook page at facebook.com/twogalshomesteading. Editing, audio production, and marketing of the Homestead Podcast is the responsibility of Media Trends X. The Homestead Podcast is an audio product of Media Trends X, a limited liability company based in Minnesota, USA.